people that you know don't like you. And you treasure friendships in. Tune in to this podcast.
Wow.
You're our official friend.
Good God, Josh, are you okay?
You came in so hot.
Who, me?
Yeah, you're like, when?
I didn't hear that on my end.
Oh, I did. I lost it. All I heard was this, when the people let you know.
I wish the two of you could be with me when I edit this all together. Oh. It is like repairing a piece of sausage. It just, jeez. It's absolutely.
Yeah, you just line them up and then just go flippity-flippity and push a couple of buttons. There you go.
Is that right? It's a little hard when, well, that's what she said. When when everybody is a different volume and everybody, there are like, you know, little blips and blorps in between everything. It's it's absolutely, absolutely crazy making. Great to see you two.
Hey, let me right off the top talk a little bit about the disparaging comments thrown my way last week based upon my technical difficulties, which had nothing to do with me taking the onus off of Andy. Now, I'll take the bullet one week. That's fine. I just want to make it clear. It wasn't through any sort of technical acumen of shortcomings on my part. It was the laptop that was provided to me by my company did not allow me to upgrade to the latest version, and so Zoom was only 50% operational, and it was only visual apparently.
Which corporation are you laying this blame at the feet of?
Oh, the Intercom folks.
Okay. Intercom. All right.
So by the time Monday rolled around, it did an automatic reboot and upgraded. So here we are.
Here we are.
I have so many other bones to pick with you guys from last week.
So many things. Let's hear it all.
Oh, I don't know. You just got so much stuff wrong. I mean, the Snagglepuss thing, I'll take... You know, 50% of the hit on that because Andy and I were both completely wrong.
Yeah,
on Snagglepuss.
I thought he was lion color, tan color, yellow.
But, I mean, the stuff you were talking about is so in my wheelhouse because match game and card sharks and all that stuff. And you guys are just all over the place.
I can't tell you how many times this week, Josh, I was just working around the house or something, and I'd start doing. It's the greatest.
I did a repeat again this Friday. I'm like, you know what? That was so good again. I'm going back. It's 2 p.m. I'm turning the TV on. I'm watching a little Press Your Luck, a little Card Sharks, and right into Match Game 78.
Is this DirecTV?
Dish.
Dish. Okay. I wonder what channel it is on DirecTV.
It's some game show channel. It's just all bad during the day. It's just bad 70s and 80s game shows.
Here's the thing. Silas, you know, who's nine, he loves watching like Ellen DeGeneres' game night or whatever.
Right.
The big game, whatever it's called.
The big gay what?
It's not gay. No,
that's
game.
That seems very inappropriate.
Game.
Oh.
Must be the Zoom cutting you off. I don't remember.
Although Ellen DeGeneres, so there you go.
What I was saying.
No. But she has this game where it's basically what's that Nickelodeon show where they get slimed? You can't do that on television?
Yeah.
What was the game show where they had to like crawl through the slime and get the flags and everything? It's Double Dare.
It's that for adults. Yep. And so he loves watching that show, and I wonder if he would dig watching some of the. And I think some of these old game shows would be pointless for him to watch. You know, like
There's so many pop culture references.
Yeah, Match Game and all the innuendo. I'd be answering a lot of questions.
You know what's great is I completely forgot. But Owen has totally got into Wheel of Fortune now, right? And I'm like, I cannot be defeated at Wheel of Fortune. And he just screams, as soon as I say the answer, he screams it out 0.5 seconds after me. He just repeats what I says and then declares victory. But then I was watching it, and all of a sudden I had a flashback. Do you remember when they would win, a puzzle and then go shopping?
Yeah.
And have to spend, they'd win $1,500 and they'll be like, I'll take the him and hers massage for $500.
Yeah, they'd open up the showcase basically, and then they would spend their money that they had on luxury gifts. And somewhere along the line they realized that ground the show to a frickin' halt.
Yeah.
And I always wondered why somebody just didn't go, nah, I'm good, I'll take the cash. Because at the end, they always said, they'll give you the rest of the gift certificate
At the end, it's would you like the rest of it on account or on a gift certificate?
Exactly. I would just look around and be like, I'm good. I'll take the hibachi and give me the rest cash. I'm done.
There was also the first host of Wheel of Fortune was Chuck Woolery. A lot of people forget that because Pat Sajak is so... we also forget that Pat Sajak, along with Vanna White, were so popular at one point. One, they were the amount of money they made and continue to make for that thing is ridiculous. And two, they decided he's so popular, let's give Pat Sajak a late night talk show.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's right. I forgot about that.
Him and Magic Johnson.
They were just handing them out right and left in the 90s, man.
Hey, there's something. For all of our listeners and you guys too, there's something that I notice every single time I watch Wheel of Fortune. And I want you guys to either watch it this week sometime, just watch it. There's at one point in time after the introductions, right, where Pat and Vanna come walking out, okay? And they say hi and they introduce themselves and everything. Then Vanna says Vanna, go ahead and take your place or something. And she does this weird walk where she walks and she her head doesn't move and her head looks so big. And she's walking right towards the camera and she's staring at the camera the whole time. And it's like this uncomfortable thing where she's got this big toothy fake smile and is just walking right at the camera trying to fake smile, and it makes me crazy, and I've noticed it for years, and I can't tell if it's just me. I need someone to watch that and figure out if
this is the current edition of the show.
Yes. They do it every right after they say hello to the audience, they come walking out and then they go to their spaces. There's a camera shot that's about 2 or 3 seconds long of her just walking right at the camera with this weird look on her face like she's just some space alien.
Oh, wow. Well, I haven't watched Wheel of Fortune in quite some time for the same reason that I don't eat at 4:30 at Hometown Buffet. I'm not over 80.
It's always struck me as such a huge dichotomy that because there are Jeopardy fans, right? Mm-hmm. And Jeopardy fans are generally think of themselves as somewhat intellectual, at least enough that they would have an interest in kind of playing along to that show and see if they can answer in the way that these super duper smarty pants can.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Jeopardy fans are the same people that use big words to describe wine.
Right. Relatively pretentious. And and then 30 minutes of that, and then it's, I'm going to spin a big old wheel trying to solve a three-word puzzle. I don't know, Pat. Is it to be or not to bow? Oh. It's like complete, but they packaged that thing together for over 20 years. Remind me what a vowel is again, Pat.
And it's like, and they change the game up every 30 episodes. All of a sudden there's something new. You're like, what the fuck's going on?
That's
I don't even know what this game is anymore.
I tuned into Wheel of Fortune.
There's a shark trap, there's a bear trap that snaps at one point and lost an arm.
Yeah, they have to wear electric sensors so when it hits bankrupt, they get a shock.
I haven't seen it in so long, but I don't know, every 12 to 18 months, I'll happen through channels and I'll see it on and I'll stop for a second just because I want to try to see if I can solve the puzzle real quick. And it's always a, this is a, it's this and that. I'm like, what the fuck category is this? It's a, it's a what and a what? I mean, I spend more time concentrating on trying to figure out what the category is than actually trying to solve the puzzle. Like,
well, I feel bad for the puzzle masters and the writers who have been doing this because clearly they've probably had to repeat some things over time. But there is a point at which they go, every kind of colloquialism or phrase or aphorism or any kind of famous quote has been done. Mm. So now we have to come up with, I don't know, cheese grater? Okay.
Yeah.
It's just like, a thing.
Yeah, and exactly. Or phrase. It's like a phrase. I shit my pants. Everything's a phrase.
you know what they have to keep doing, right? They have to keep reinventing the wheel.
Oh, God.
Oh, mother.
We just want to start from here. When? He just killed it, just like that.
Ladies and gentlemen, Josh Fligger is here. Larry Morgan is with us. I'm Andy Chanley, and Sam Farmer is on assignment. Welcome to the Your Artificial Friends podcast. We should usually say that a little bit earlier than 10 minutes in.
Nobody cares.
Nobody really cares. I guess they know why they're here.
They can read it on the description. It's right there.
And it's punishment enough to be here. It's like
if they stumbled in by accident, now there's their time to leave. So
it's like Statler and Waldorf. Why do we always come here? I guess we'll never know.
Out of all the impressions, that might be one of my favorite ones that you've done so far.
It might be the only one you do well. That's really good.
That was pretty good.
I have to tell you, I'm so glad I was able to connect this weekend, guys, because I needed smiles and companionship this week.
Why is that? What's wrong?
Just because of the world, and I don't want to get too heavy and bring everything down. But I also wouldn't want to go without just at least mentioning, you know, that we're not oblivious to the fact that there is, you know, a lot of turmoil and unrest, but also a great deal of peaceful demonstrations going on. But for three white guys to sit around here and just make dick jokes for an hour, which is definitely what we're mostly going to do.
Exactly.
I think it would be untoward if we didn't, mention what's going on. Because I've been doing a lot of just personal work this week, because I feel like this is kind of one of those things that I do not want to just let lapse and go back to, quote, normal. Because doesn't it feel like to you guys that there's a bit of a sea change culturally, that there's something maybe a little bit more powerful than previous?
I mean, it has to be.
Right.
It feels like with all the things going on right now, that it's everybody's got to take a step back and say something's got to change. Something has to change. Yeah. We all have to change.
Look, it's us, right?
I mean, it's specifically the two of you more than anyone else.
Exactly. I know, because I would like
to apologize on behalf of myself for all the shit that I caused in the last year.
Yeah. I apologize for all the shit Josh has caused in the past year.
Yeah. Hey, you know, we won't belabor it, but I noticed yesterday, Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner, I wish Sam was here to speak to this, but he, I don't know if you saw, he said, I was wrong to say that players shouldn't peacefully protest or take a knee or what have you, if that's what they want to do, to talk about racial injustice over the centuries and especially in this last couple of decades. And he said, I not only allow it, I encourage it now.
Wow.
And here's the thing. Again, I know that we have listeners that wear MAGA hats. I know we have listeners who are probably closer to Antifa, and I imagine most people are much closer to the middle of those things these days.
Goofballs like us is what you're saying.
But if you believe that, or if you've believed in the past, honestly that Colin Kaepernick or any of these players were disrespecting our country, were that their intention was to drag down the United States or to desecrate the flag, then I think you drank some Kool-Aid a long time ago and you're still savoring the flavor of it, because you know that is a song. If you go and look up the original full lyrics to the Francis Scott Key's text, there is a stanza in there about spilling the blood of slaves, and I certainly, if I put myself in their shoes, wouldn't want to sing that song and stand up and say, yes, sir, that's great, especially when they see people of color being treated differently. And I have black friends. All of them have been pulled over for driving while black. All of them have been asked questions like, is this your car? I've never been asked that when I got pulled over.
Nope.
They get treated a little bit differently. And for us to start realizing that now and realizing that it's time for change, because as someone smart put it the other night, as a black man, decisions are made about me before I ever say a word. And right. That should never be fair for whatever color skin someone has. So, yeah. Yes, I agree with you, Larry. I'm glad that we're looking at things in a more egalitarian way now. And hopefully this is a big change going forward. I don't expect it to happen overnight, surely. But it's important for us to all, search our own hearts.
Good. Well, very eloquent, Andy. And thank you for letting me go off on that, because it's been so top of mind and I haven't really had a chance to talk about that with that many people. So thank you. And I know you guys, it's nice to hear that. So
yeah,
hopefully, and you're right, this is not a political issue. This is not about picking sides of parties. This is a human issue.
It's about
issue.
Inclusion. Yeah, exactly.
And the probably the biggest step comes from people like us to be an ally in that fight. And I've made a pledge to myself to not let this just be a thing I do for a week and let it drop. So, yeah.
Right. I'm actually glad that there's some legs behind it. You know what I mean? It's still going on instead of kind of just tuckering away. And
no.
Going, I wasn't sure if it was going to stick around. I'm glad it is. I'm glad there's still people out there protesting. I think that's encouraging to me that they're not just giving up and saying, okay, we won't let this happen again. It's like they're still out there doing it. It's what, day 10? I mean, Owen, it was rough explaining to him what was going on. We'd turn on the TV and put it on the news and he'd be like, what are they protesting now? I'm like, it's the same thing, buddy. This is a very difficult time in our country right now. And, he's still young enough where he'll probably remember it when he grows up, but to actually grasp, he hasn't had to go through any of this stuff. He doesn't understand what racism is, because he's still young enough where everybody's the exact same. You know what I mean? He's got that, the innocence of where just everybody has the same opportunities and everybody's, equal. And it's
back,
crazy.
Back before we learned all the bad stuff, we were all taught that. I remember very specifically, growing up in West Texas, I experienced a certain amount of racism, sometimes within my own family, whether it was overt or subtle. But there were also so many things that I was naive about until I actually got to California, this, much more kind of liberal place where I hadn't ever heard really or understood stereotypes about Jews, for instance. And then I was around a whole bunch of, different people from different cultures. And then I started hearing people say, talking about noses and being cheap and all those, making those jokes, those stereotypes. Had no idea that those existed, had never heard of those before.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I learned those when I got to a more liberal state, just in the process of understanding or making fun of stereotypes, even from people who thought that they were being more enlightened. Just by even talking about it also educated people about the fact that they exist, and then it's kind of planted in your brain. So,
yeah, there's something about that innocent. You know, what did Bob Seger say in Against the Wind? I wish I didn't know now what I didn't know then.
Yeah,
it's very true, and we look at Silas, who's nine, and Vivian, who's five, and you know, think about how do you talk to them? How do you talk to your kids about things like this? And we've done a lot of reading on it and a lot of conversations about it. And what we've come to is this. We shield our kids from a lot of news. We won't watch the news when they're around. You can't. There's just so much horrible shit on the news. You can't have it on when the kids are in the room. Because the way we've put it is, you know, they have the rest of their lives to be adults. Yes. And saddled with all of this shit that all of us are saddled with that causes us stress. They have the rest of their lives for that. Like when Silas will say, can I watch this scary movie? Can I watch It? I'm like, no! Absolutely not. Why? Yeah. Because you're going to have a nightmare. No, I won't. Yeah, you will. And
it's 3 hours of terror.
And you're not going to have that because you have the rest of your life to be saddled with these things. You have a very short time, relatively, to be innocent, to be a child. And so we try to preserve that as much as possible. And when you have kids, could have killed another kid in his class. They were having a little FaceTime thing. And he tells Silas what's been going on, why these protests are happening, about somebody killed a man or whatever. I'm like, oh, okay. So now he's worried about people out on the streets and all this kinds of stuff. So then you have a conversation with him and you say things like, you don't come right out and blurt it all out. Here's what's happening. You see, but I believe this. You ask them what they know. What have you heard about this? And then even repeat it back to them and say, okay, so you're saying that you've heard this happened and this happened. And ask them if they have any questions about it. Don't, I like talking. I tend to like to give people the long answer because if I feel I have it, just because I think that's more interesting. And to train myself to not give my kids the long answer on something, the whole answer, more than they need to know to get through it. Because I'm not really worried that my children won't know about the slave trade or about Vietnam by the time they go off to college. But I don't think they really need to dwell on it when they're 5 and 9 years old.
Right.
So it's been a real exercise in having those conversations as well. But, but I'm glad you brought all this up, Larry, because, we don't dwell on this stuff a lot here because this is generally a more lighthearted time for all of us and for people. But you go into what this has always been intended to be is a corner of the bar podcast. That's why it's never about anything.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, this is part of every conversation that's going on at the corner of every bar in this country and others.
Well, it's funny you say that about the podcast, which is absolutely right. And I think we all need a respite from, any sort of rough feelings that we've been having. But we had the same discussion about K-Earth this week with my program director. And we, typically we have been the ones who you turn to for respite from that, like if you want an escape from that. So we're not talking about, major news items, unless it affects something in the community, unless it's a fire or earthquake or something like that. Of course, we're going to, address it, but we're not going to cover it. And this was one of those things where we said, you know what? And we really wrestled with it because we still kind of felt like with the brand that it was about, letting people have a place to go to where you weren't reminded of it. And we decided this was too important to not do something. And we're not going to, again, turn all talk and become issues oriented. But we've made it very clear where we stand. And I thought that was very brave because it's very easy to say, I don't want to do anything that, causes any sense of pushback. And we said, look, we're just going to have to stick our necks out because that's what this is about. And it's not even that big of a leap because it's just supporting something that's right,
Right.
And so we've gotten, a little bit of flack on that. But you're right. I think this is luckily and for the good of the world, I think this is a conversation that pretty much people everywhere they're having it. And the one of the most kind of uplifting things about this whole thing is that I've actually heard from and talked to black men and women and other people of color who are so moved by this because they've never felt this way before. They are feeling more heard and more seen
right.
than they ever have. And that the people like us who are stepping up in a way that's genuine and actually pledging to support that is not something they have seen, that they have just, like the stories you're talking about driving while black, being pulled over for no reason, being questioned because of the color of their skin, the kind of things they have to face every day that we will never understand.
Oh my God. Having to have that talk, Larry, having to sit my son down, my 9-year-old son, and say, hey, you're getting to be of a size where before long, people are going to look at you and they're going to worry that maybe you're up to no good. And it's because of the color of your skin. And so I want you to always keep that in mind and get yourself out of any situation and avoid conflict because as a person of color, you are at increased risk. God, having to have that conversation with my kids would kill me.
Can you imagine even having any part of your life where you look at a police officer and think, when I'm in trouble, that's the last person I want to go to? You know what I mean? Like, I can't rely on that police officer to wrong whatever or to right whatever wrong is happening to me. You know what I mean? Mm. As a white person, I've never looked at a police officer in my life and thought, if I'm in trouble, that's not the guy I should go to. You know, yeah. That's not an option for me if I'm getting mugged or if somebody's stolen from me, because somehow that can get turned around back onto me. I'll be put in a situation where because of my skin color, the tables could be turned, and there's no other reason other than the color of my skin. I can't rely as a white person. It's the driving thing. We've never thought of it.
Yeah,
and that was one of the things that I never even thought about until I moved out here, and then you know you just talk to enough African American people, black people, and Latinos, and you're just like, I mean, they'll just flat out tell you, oh, you don't have to worry about that. You know, and it's like. It's crazy.
Michael Che said something the other night on one of the talk shows. He's from SNL. He's one of the head writers.
The Weekend Update
said,
guy, yeah.
Yeah, and he said that because he has actually two brothers, I think, involved in law enforcement, or one of them formerly and one of them currently. And even he said, I've never even considered calling 911 in my life. I don't see anything that would ever happen to me that would make me even think to do that. And I think that's exactly what you're saying, Josh.
As a East Coast white guy that grew up in a primarily white area, you saw the cops. If you were doing something bad, you ran. You know what I mean? if you weren't doing anything bad, you were just sitting there like, what the hell? I didn't do anything. You're not going to, you know what I mean? But as an African American, you're like, you see the cops. If I'm even within a quarter mile of something bad, I'm an immediate suspect. You know,
fellas, I think that Flava Flav said it best when he said, get up, get down. 911 is a joke in your town. Get up, get down. Late 911, where's the late crown?
Yeah.
And then
he rode away on his big bike in a gas station in North Hollywood.
And they said, don't believe the hype.
didn't they fire him?
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Which is a shame because I loved him.
Yeah, how can you fire Flavor Flav from Public Enemy? He's like, that's like firing Ronald McDonald from McDonald's.
Did you imagine that conversation? Flavor Flav, yeah, you're fired. All right, leave the watch, leave the clock.
And then he took his clock off. All
turning, it's kind of like turn in your grill and your clock.
Yeah. Do you remember Buck Rogers, the TV show?
Oh God. Yeah.
That stupid robot.
Yeah. Tweaky. Beady, beady, beady. Hey, bye.
Oh, God.
When he wore that thing, that face or whatever around his chest. That always, whenever I saw Flava Flav, I thought of Tweaky from Buck Rogers. But, oh, my God. One day, I'm in the waiting room to do a voiceover at my agency, and in walks Erin Gray.
Oh.
From Buck Rogers. I'm like.
How old was she, though?
Maybe she was early.
What is that? God, Josh.
Well, I mean, there's Erin Gray during Buck Rogers, and then there's Erin Gray now. I don't know.
She would have known. It was Erin Gray from 1997 that walked in. That's the thing. That's what freaked Andy out so much.
Yeah.
Well, she is 70 years old right now.
Please tell, well,
did you do the tweet? Did you go beady beady? Did you do that? Please tell me you did that. Beady beady beady. That was your pickup line.
Hey, but. No, but she was hot. She was still hot. She was probably 52 or so. I'm guessing early 50s. Ooh. When I saw.
Oh, yeah. When was this?
It was like 20 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did you say that? 20 and I just years ago. Ignored you.
Okay. Probably. Yeah.
All right.
Anywho's, great comments from both of you, especially from me. on this. but I'm glad.
If you'd like a transcription of Andy's comments, go ahead and email him at.
Do that at the end of the Phil Donahue show. For a written transcript, please.
Yes.
Yeah.
What the hell are you going to do? Sit there on your couch and read the Phil Donahue episode?
There was some lonely Phil Donahue fan out there who sent away for every single one of them stacked up in their apartment.
They're all in like order in a library somewhere.
I would like to personally annotate the edition with Madeline Murray O'Hare. Please send it forthwith.
I forgot about that.
Wow. How about a real screeching right turn and we head into the songs of the summer, boys?
I love it.
I'm the king of transitions, man.
Are you? You have them all queued up and ready to go?
Yeah, and I have, after all this buildup, this is going to be probably the least interesting thing. We've talked about this like 4 weeks in a row.
Probably dying for my songs because they're going to be so effing good that they're just going to kick off the summer and their heads are going to explode.
Josh's choices, Andy. As I was putting these together, they did kind of play out in a little bit of a narrative. So if you're okay with me kind of taking over and presenting them, because here's the thing about Josh's choices, because he sent me two songs, and I bet if we just asked you to sit there for an hour and list off 1,000 titles, you would not come up with either one of these. And even if you came up with one, you would never pair it with the other. And I know both yours and mine, Andy, are a little bit random and come from different places. And there's probably stories behind all of these. So that's why I wanted to get into this, because I wanted to take some time so we could all tell those
stories. It's been months. Frankly, I forgot what they are.
But Josh, I am so flummoxed by these choices. Not that they're bad.
Let me just tell you right off the bat that to do this topic, I was just like, I mean, I sat there for like a week. I'm like, I don't know what the hell. I don't have summer songs. They don't exist in my world.
I'm willing to bet for all of us, though, all of these songs are associated with memories as opposed to being like,
yes,
I'm going to pick a song with summer in it. I think probably, and I know for mine, there are some very indelible memories associated with these songs.
Right,
so I'm guessing that's it. So I don't even want Josh to tell the story of his first one. I just want you to hear what it is, Andy. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Hit me.
If it's the one I think it is.
This struck me as so odd. I like this album a lot. I like this artist a lot. I really enjoy the song. But what the fuck, Josh? Really?
The waiters in your grand cafe. Yep.
Wow.
This was the first one that came to my mind when you did summer song. And let me tell you why.
Hold on. We got to get to the hook.
Every truck must have his drink. Don't wait for answers. Just take a chance. Don't ask me why.
Billy Joel, Don't Ask Me Why. Josh, you have the fucking floor.
Don't ask me why.
So that's exactly.
Don't ask him why.
That's it. Next song.
We'll move on to the next one.
Every summer, we would drive. My parents would rent a house. They still do it, and we're going to try to do it again this year. Is they rent a house on the Outer Banks of Wilmington, North Carolina?
Oh wow!
And on a private beach, and we spent. At that time, we'd get like one of those like eight bedroom houses and like four families would go, you know, like, right. like my grandparents, and we'd all go down for like a week or 2 weeks. And we did that every summer. And the first year that we introduced eight tracks into the Fligger family, they got a brand new car with an eight track player in it and got of the family a small, like one 8-inch speaker, 6D batteries, eight track player, you know what I mean? For the beach to play outside. And we only, and they went out like the day before we drove down and bought glass houses. And that was like one of the three albums that we had on that like 16-hour drive that we just put on a loop. And I just remember that whole, like twice a day listening to Glass Houses. And that was just the song that is out of that album, that is the first one that popped into my head.
Of all the songs on Glass Houses that you could have picked, Don't Ask Me Why is the one.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why. It's just that. It's just so cheesy. It's awesome.
For me, it would have been You May Be Right.
Yeah, they're all good. There's a bunch of great songs on that. I love that album.
It's a great album.
I do love that album. Am I right, Andy? Would you have ever predicted in your life that?
Yeah, no. I picture him, at the community center playing mahjong.
Josh, do you want to set up the second one, or should I just play it?
Let's go around the horn.
No. I think this works better.
Let me explain first. Okay. These are songs, like when you said summer songs, I'm like, I don't listen to a song and go, that song reminds me of being in summer. I more of go, this is the song I remember when it was summer. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right,
does that
right,
make
right.
sense?
Yeah. No, okay, because it doesn't necessarily like came out in the summer or whatever, but it's what your memories associate with.
I think
I have to play it though, because we have to go from this. We have to go from this to this.
Alice in Chains, Man in the Box.
Alice in Chains, Man in the Box.
Don't ask me why.
I was 16. That was on 102.5 WDVE. Just every third song was that song in the summer. I just remember one whole summer. That's just all I heard was that song. It's not a bad song, but it's not like one of my favorites. I don't even know. That's a summer song to me. I hear that and I'm immediately in a car, with the windows down in Butler, Pennsylvania, listening, and it's 100, it's 80 degrees, but you're sweating like a pig. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
It somehow seems way more on brand than this for Josh. it doesn't, and you're right, it doesn't denote necessarily, you know, ooh, I'm going to put suntan lotion on and I'm going to go out to the beach and I'm going to have some ice cream.
I didn't look it up, but I'm willing to bet if you looked at when that song was released, it was probably released in like
May of.
Exactly, May of like 1992?
Wasn't that late?
No, yeah, 91, maybe 91.
Yeah.
All right, good talk.
Wow.
I told you my song sucked.
No, those did not disappoint, my friend.
Everybody's just going to break those two songs out, grab a Corona, and go sit in the porch today. Yeah. Just listen to that song.
By the way, Josh, Man in the Box, Alice in Chains, released January of 1991. Anyway.
I guess DVE only plays like that song like 50 times every other day.
Ours are going to seem so prosaic by comparison.
I know. But they have their own story, too. I'm going to go to you next, Andy.
I get to go next?
Yeah.
All right.
And one of yours, I actually, knowing you would do this, I had to fight the urge to pick an ELO song. But much like Josh, I don't necessarily associate any of those songs with summer for me.
Right.
There is like one entire year and a half where I might have listened to nothing but ELO that entire time. So I can't necessarily connect it to summer.
Well, this one that you're going to play, if anybody listened to copiously to Mark in the Morning, when Mark brought up this topic, I chose this as my summer song then, I believe.
Oh, and it's kind of great. It's lovely.
Deep waters flow out to the sea. They never needed you or me. One summer dream.
So nice.
It's awesome. One Summer Dream by ELO. Now, there's a story why this became a summer song for me. Besides the fact that there's, you know,
summer's in the title.
Summer's
in
the title.
Summer,
yeah. Yeah. And it sounds, you know, I guess, you know, summery maybe.
And this wasn't like a hit. It wasn't really played on the radio or anything.
I'm driving to a fantasy football draft several years ago, like, I don't know, like eight years ago or something. And it happened to be in Big Bear that year. And I come up, crest over the hill, and come down to Big Bear Lake. And that song was playing on my radio, right, on my stereo. And I come over the hill, and right as I did it, it was like a time warp. Because I'm looking out over the Big Bear Lake, and the water is glinting off it. It's, you know, probably like 4 or 5 in the afternoon. And I see, just like in silhouette out there in the middle of the lake, there is a little rowboat. And there's a man and a woman in a rowboat out there. And I can't make out the details, but I just had this feeling with that song playing of that could be, I could almost see their red plaid picnic basket, and she's got a blue scarf around her neck and a skirt and heels, and it's 1955, and they're going to have that picnic out on the lake and then go back and put everything in the Woody station wagon and go home. I mean,
that's really crazy. When that's happened to me like twice in my life, where a song comes on and it's the most perfect song for that moment. And it just sticks in there so well. You're like, you almost like never want it to end. You're like, oh my God, this is amazing. I couldn't have wished it this good. You know what I mean?
I think I've talked about this on the air when I was at The Sound, that those moments are actually more indelible than the ones that we're supposed to remember, like your the song they played at your wedding, which, you know, I remember barely anything about my wedding, but I can remember, you're right, Josh, I can remember when we lived in San Mateo and Charlo was cooking dinner and there were these amazing smells, you know, it was just garlic and onions getting started in the kitchen. I was reading this great book and I was listening to a radio station we loved out of San Francisco, and they played Don't Give Up by Peter Gabriel and Kate Bush. And I had like a cold beer in one hand, and I just remember that kind of feeling coming over me, that almost that ASMR kind of feeling come over me, go, and I, at that moment, literally here I am talking about it 20 plus years later, and I had to sit there and go, this is like maybe one of those perfect moments and it has music, and it always has a piece of music involved.
The day, one of the greatest moments of my life is when I got to meet Jimmy Page with Uncle Joe and Mikey, and we were up on Sunset, and as I was, I just got to hang out with them, and it was just, I still get jitters thinking about it, right? So imagine, as I park up on Sunset, and as I'm walking up to my car in the middle of the afternoon, and I'm just on cloud nine, I'm still got like the shakes, I'm like, holy crap, I just met Jimmy Page, and I got to hear him talk, you know, break down Led Zeppelin songs, and it was just like me and three other people in a room, and I'm listening to Jimmy Page, and he shook my hand, and he said my name, and I'm walking up, and I look, and I see the Hyatt House, and I think there's the Riot House, that, you know, all the crazy shit that went on there. And I get in the car and I start my car and I turn the key on, and immediately I turn on the key, it goes, Black Dog, from the top, the beginning, Black Dog just starts. And I was just like, nothing in the world can make anything bad right now. So it was just like, yes. It was perfect.
Music's awesome. You don't want to do your second one, Andy?
Yeah, what's the second one, Andy?
I forgot what it is. Oh, wait, I think I know what it is. Yeah, do the second one.
All right, here we go.
I mean, come on. Is there a summer song better than that? I mean, just like objectively, that song, if 100 people were played that song and they said, name one of the four seasons, they'd say summer.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, shit, I should have picked
Four Seasons.
The Four Seasons. What was I thinking? What was I thinking? That song, I love the one note guitar solo. I know how much of a fan you guys are. One note.
Yeah.
Boop.
This is so great.
That he just blows Neil Young out of the water.
Eat my shit.
Oh shit.
He played that solo on his knees. Neil Young was just standing there going.
But that song, you know the story of that song when. Brian Wilson is, you know, driving around Torrance one day in what year would it have been, 64 or 65, and he hears, or was it even earlier? Anyway, he hears the Ronettes, "Be My Baby," and the Phil Spector wall of sound, and he pulls the car over to the side of the road and just starts crying. Because he's like, that's what I have in my head, and I couldn't get down, and now I've seen someone do it, I know I can do that, and this song, "Don't Worry, Baby," was his answer to "Be My Baby," and so writes that, and it's, you know, about he's gonna go race, and you know, I was talking big, and now I've got to, you know, put up or shut up, and if I don't do this, you know, I could get killed or whatever, and his girlfriend saying, "Oh, don't worry about it, everything's gonna be okay." It's just the perfect Southern California summer song, and every time I hear it, I'm like, oh, there's no, I'm not getting out of the car, I'm not turning it down, I'm, you know, I don't care, you know, I'll get shelter from the earthquake after the song's done.
It's "No Man in the Box."
Or well, it's funny. Yeah, you know, it feels a little on the nose to pick a Beach Boys song for a summer song, but you know, who better than that? And when you did that, Andy, I almost changed mine until I realized, and this is part of the narrative. Two things. One, that you had picked a couple of just super pussy songs.
Hey, thanks. And, thank and two, you.
And two,
super pussy songs.
Here's the interesting thing about your choices is that One Summer Dream, ELO, a really terrific song, actually kind of off of the album Face the Music, which was a big transition for them because I think One Summer Dream really kind of says what's coming for that band, what their sound is really going to solidify as they move forward. And it just so happens that One Summer Dream is a B-side on the single of Mr. Blue Sky, which would have also been a great summer song. Most would say a far more superior summer song than One Summer Dream. Yeah, in a sheer coincidence, because I almost picked Good Vibrations, but that feels more like that's super on the nose. This one specifically is a memory for me that feels like summer, and it also happens to be the far superior A-side to your song.
Round, round, get around, I get around, yeah, get around, round, round, I get around, I get around.
Now, this song caught my, I have no idea why I bought this 45. I remember it. It's the Capitol Records.
It was the day it came out.
No. Son of a bitch.
And I had just turned 21, so I thought I would take my dollar.
It was not when it came out. It was, however, at the point where there was a big nostalgia. There's a couple of stories to this, which is 1973, American Graffiti came out. I was much too young to see
where
that movie.
Where were you in 62?
But it takes place in 1962, but it did start a wave of nostalgia for the 50s, which begat, one, a best-selling soundtrack that was filled with, you know, like doo-wop songs and songs from the 50s, and basically started the craze that begat Happy Days, which, sure, you know, they transferred some of those stars into that world. Yeah. Ron Howard. Cindy Williams and Laverne and Shirley. So there was this big nostalgia for the 50s. Side note here, by the way, 1973 kicked off that nostalgia for the 50s, which was 20 years earlier. So right now, if someone were to build a sitcom around the early 2000s, what the fuck would that be about? Yeah. what would be iconic about that? What, you know, anyway. So
just loose pants. baggy pants.
So I hadn't seen American Graffiti, but I had the soundtrack. And also the year after that was when, based on some of that nostalgia, because if you remember in American Graffiti, the last song on the soundtrack is All Summer Long by the Beach Boys, as this kind of transition from the innocence of the 50s into what was about to become a much more troubled time in the 60s.
Right.
And even though it's this bouncy little song. Well, then the Beach Boys the following year released Endless Summer, that compilation album, that double album with all their huge songs.
The greatest.
But I had already bought this 45 because it had the Capitol swirl, the yellow and orange swirl that, you know, and man, I was, you know, riding my, you know, banana seat bicycle around in the white hot West Texas and dry 102 degrees with nothing to do but to go to the 7-Eleven and get the biggest Slurpee I could fucking afford and just try and stay cool. And this just felt like, I think this was the beginning of me craving to get to California, that kind of thing.
That's awesome.
So the other one has the story first, which is, this is very quintessential summer to me, and this is, again, West Texas story. Jump to a few years later. It is August of 1978. It is 108 degrees outside. My friend Kevin Lane and Kent Stalkup, who is a year older than us, we decided that we were going to go from where we were to a different part of town in Odessa, Texas. So all of three of us drove there in our own cars because nobody gave a crap about gas conservation then. And nobody wanted to be at this other place stuck there with having to get a ride back from somebody else. So all three of us driving through, and Kent Stalkup is a very aggressive driver, and he is taking shortcuts to get to where we're going, and we're trying to keep up with him. And it's three giant cars, late model, like my friend Kevin's got a Chevy, I've got a 1970 Ford LTD, which is
and boat,
and they're all shades of poop brown, you know, it's just it's various forms of that. So he's screaming down a side street as a shortcut, and suddenly his brakes just lock. He screeches to a halt. He's like burning rubber, smoke coming off his back tires. It's 104 outside. Kevin screeches to a halt right behind him, barely missing him. I'm right behind Kevin. I'm also swerving and stopping in the middle of the street. I see Kent stalk up, put his car in park, open the door, turns up the radio as loud as it'll go, and starts playing air guitar in the middle of the street because he's hearing this for the first time. And he's shouting, "Turn on KOZA! Turn on KOZA!" So apparently, as a Boston fan, Kent Stalkup had been dying for the second album from that band. And that was the moment that that radio station played the single that had just been delivered to them that day. And he nearly killed us all to play that air guitar in the street with his mono AM radio distorting all over the fucking place.
That's awesome. That is
That is my summer of 78
that's,
story right
that's
there.
That's the winner.
That is a great summer song. And all that Boston stuff, they're still not in the Hall of Fame. How is that possible?
They should be in the Hall of Fame just on two albums. I mean,
yeah.
And basically that's all they deserve. But
does anybody even really care about that Hall of Fame anymore?
No.
Just by the way that, yeah, it's like, I remember when it started, it was kind of a cool thing. Like, wow, this is going to be great. We can, you know, they'll actually be legitimizing the greatest musicians, of all time, the greatest rock and roll musicians of all time. And now it's just like, Who cares?
Have established it as a thing to talk about the birth of a particular type of music and never worried about having to induct a class every year. Because, look, they're going to run out. Rock and roll is not making a ton of progress, and that's why they've had to, over the years, include Madonna and Donna Summer and, ABBA.
All the Donnas. Madonna, Donna. Well, thank you for putting together those songs. They sounded horrible on this podcast, but I think they did give us the name of the podcast. Don't Ask the Man in the Box.
Hold on, let me see if that works. Oh my God!
Just like peanut butter and jelly.
Sounds pretty
it's
good.
It's definitely on white bread, Josh, for sure.
Hey, fellas, we've got a couple of phone calls.
Hey, good. So you had a drought last week.
Yeah, we really did.
Somebody actually sent me a dick pic this week. Thanks, Andy.
Oh, good. Did they really?
An X-ray of their crotch. At least I think it's theirs. I don't know. I looked at it and I was like, yeah, I think I see an outline of a ball sack.
Were you able to diagnose the reason for?
the funny part is I was looking at it and I'm like, well, technically, am I looking at someone's junk? And then I saw like an outline of it because it was an X-ray. And then when I realized that I was staring at somebody else's junk, I said, why am I doing this? And I just deleted the email. I'm like, why am I trying to decipher if I can see another person's junk on here?
I'm dying to know somebody's thought process for like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send them an egg. I mean, it can't be theirs. But to go on Google and say X-ray of penis is.
Hey, fellas, our YAF line number is 626-657-6428 or O Amuck PM Hat as your mnemonic device for that.
Did you look that up earlier? Because I saw you going behind the curtain.
I did.
Did you do that?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Good job.
Have you ever thought of moving it on this side of the curtain?
No, Larry. What are you crazy?
I'm crazy.
I've thought of
guys,
it.
Guys back one episode. Now he wants to change everything.
Oh, by the way, I think I understand why I was not allowed in the podcast last week. Because it is the divine intervention. It is finally proof to me that there is a creator or some sort of hand of God present who allowed me to miss out on Pergola Chat. So thank you. Thank you, dear Lord in heaven. I believe in you now.
But you got it later. Yeah. Okay, so here's my question.
No. That's where that 30 seconds ahead button comes in real handy on the Apple podcast.
So here's my question to you guys. I have two calls from the same number. What I propose is I play the first one, and I'll let you then decide if we play the second one.
Have you heard these so far? Have you heard them yet?
I've not listened to either one.
Okay. Can I ask you some detail here? Are you going to go chronologically?
Yeah, I was going to go chronologically.
Second question, could you tell me the length of call number one?
It's a minute 49, and the second one is a minute 11. Now, the second one a redo?
We could have our own game show here.
I bet you the second one is a minute-long apology for the minute 40 seconds they wasted on the first one.
Well, should we find out?
Sure.
All right, here we go. Let's see what this phone call is all about.
This is George from Long Beach. Josh, my summer song would be In the Summertime by Mungo Jerry. Ooh. It mentions summer right in the title, and it has some unintelligible lyrics that sound kind of dirty. Andy, great news on your Burbank dongle. Isn't there a saying, think globally, acquire dongles locally? And Larry, you can't call me the Dell guy anymore. I was laid off at the beginning of April, and now I am one of the 40 million. Oh, but no worries, I have artificial friends. What this podcast needs is a good rat story, and I have one.
Oh, shit.
We had a patio cover installed. It's an 18 by 18 aluminum square that is mounted under the eaves and abuts the fascia. This creates a hidden space, which could be an issue with rats. I put my Uniden wireless security cameras in the eaves to see what was happening. Oh, my God. It was a rat superhighway. Not only that, but they hang out there during the day.
Smoking
I quickly
cigarettes.
Purchased flashing and sealed up both ends of the eaves to eliminate access. Yes. Unfortunately, the rats just moved next door, where they have a similar patio cover, but are clueless as to the rats living there in the hidden space. Now the rats live next door and visit our yard in search of food. We have tried in vain to trap the mother rat. She understands the trap and will not go in. Fortunately, her babies are not so smart. A few weeks ago, we baited the trap with peanut butter and set it for the night. It tripped just after 8 p.m. and captured one of the babies.
Captured.
End of call one.
No, no. Oh, he knows he's doing a two-parter.
What?
Wow. Boy, that's what that, hey, folks, hey, kids, that's what they call in the business a cliffhanger.
Yeah. Huh? What do you guys say? What do you want the minute 11?
I feel like we need the minute 11 because he didn't mention pergola. He mentioned.
But he did talk about some fashion. All right. Here we go.
There are so many unresolved issues. I mean, I think this is like, you know.
So is he just sit there and watch rats all the time? And then he's, okay, I'm going to go. Okay, was this like a kill trap or is this a safe trap?
Let's find out. Let's find out.
All right.
Call two. Now, there are conflicting stories on the internet about releasing live trapped rats.
Okay.
Some say you need to get the rat at least 5 miles away or they will find their way back. Others say that if you move the rat more than 100 yards, they will be totally lost and most likely become dinner to a predator. Well, we loaded the rat trap into the car and headed out to the wetlands. Now, it's probably a crime to introduce non-native species into the wetlands, and it was only 3 miles, but we figured it would be enough. We dumped the baby rat in the field and left. My wife is all for the circle of life as long as she doesn't have to see it happen. Now, 3 days later, the mama rat was back in our yard with a baby rat. I thought, crap, it found its way back. But my wife assured me that she saw the mama with two babies the week before, so the one we trapped was not back. It is a never-ending fight, but we and our Uniden wireless security cameras are up to the task. Until next time, this is George from Long Beach.
Now, so he won't kill the rats because he doesn't want to hurt the... why? I mean, if I got found a rat, I'd kick that thing like it was 4th and 23. I'd punt that thing across. And he's worried about a baby rat within like 5 miles. It's just put a rat thing. It'll snap its neck. It'll be dead. It'll never know. You can throw it in the garbage. Just get a rat trap. Snap their necks. They die. Oh. It's not like they sit there and go, oh.
I'd kick that thing like it was 4th and 23.
I would. I'd pull it out of the trap. I'd just punt it in the next yard. Go, get out of here. You're dead.
Hold that thought for just a second, Josh, because I need to play this.
Low energy Mike. Mark. Low energy Mike.
That's right. We got a call from Low Energy Mike, everybody.
You buried the lead.
Buried the lead. This is the most recent call we've gotten. So let's have a listen in.
Hey, Yappers. This is Low Energy Mike from Northeastern Oregon. It's a busy time of year in this part of the country. Then I get called off of my regularly scheduled jobs to do an emergency dike repair. We have had an abnormal, abnormal amount of rain lately. Then the weather warms up. So extremely high weather in Catherine Creek. Add that to some muskrat holes in the dike, and you get a 30-foot wide by about 7-foot deep hole in the dike. That's a lot of water going out into the farmer's field. Then to top this off, we need to fill in mud holes just to get to the truckloads of boulders and riprap out to the breach. To shore it up enough to slow down the flow so we can seal it with base rock. Started at daylight. Didn't get home till 10 that night. The next day was just a normal light day. The pear is still seeping, but at least it's not 100,000 gallons per minute like before. A couple of interesting days for a ditch digging man. Doc, to you later.
I'm a 12-year-old
boy. Oh, Josh, you're a child. Hold on, you're hold a on. Fucking child.
Hold on. Let's play this first.
Okay.
That was low energy, Mike. That was low energy, Mike.
All right, Josh.
God.
I admit to
no,
you that...
No, don't let him. Don't. Don't.
I admit to him that filling holes in dikes and and talk of mud holes... It's pretty low-hanging fruit.
You couldn't see the visual of Josh trying so desperately to contain his hilarity that it looks like his phone flew across the room and he had to recover.
Oh, God.
Oh, low energy, well, Mike.
I was holding the shit together, and I was looking down, and then I heard one of you two just make one little like that, and then that's when
our fault. Okay.
Yeah, I blame myself. Yeah.
I'm still annoyed by the rap. why is he saying he thinks it's okay to take the baby rat away from his mother so an owl can eat it and rip its guts out with its sharp talons.
Circle of life, Josh.
And then the mother comes back. Oh, I wonder where Billy is. I don't know. Maybe he's still down the street. Let's go look for him. Nope, we're going to trap them. And then we're going to make sure they're still alive, and hopefully we'll separate them, and we'll take one and put them like 300 yards that way and one 5 miles. Just kill them.
So the infinitely more humane option would be destroy them both.
It's not like I'm lining them up against the wall with a firing squad. It just comes down, it breaks their neck. They don't even know what happens. It's they're sitting there going, oh my god. Actually, it's probably they're like, oh my god, this peanut butter is the most amazing fucking thing I've ever eaten. They die happy.
Dear God, play the song, Andy. I don't know what's happened.
How can people get a hold of you and send their dick pics in, Josh?
Yeah.
Also, we'd love for anybody from PETA to send Josh.
They're vermin. They're allowed to be killed, right? Isn't that a thing? You're allowed to kill rats.
By the way, there's a pretty good Geico commercial that's starting to show up on streaming channels where there's a couple sitting there talking about we got a great price for the house, but we really have a rat problem. And they cut to the bathroom where it's round and round. It's the band actually playing in their house. And they look 140 years old.
Yeah. and he looks pretty unenthusiastic while he's singing it, too. You can tell he's doing it for the paycheck.
He kind of hops once to just try and look like he's into it.
Exactly. Andy, I'm just giving you a warning now. When I knock the phone over, I put it back on upside down, so you might have to patch in this audio, the Zoom audio in, because I'm just a train wreck after that call. You can get me at joshuajflieger@gmail.com. That's all I gotta say. I'm done for the day.
Larry.
Yeah. I'm not sure I want anybody to. I don't want to be associated with this podcast anymore. So I'd rather nobody reach out to me. How about follow me on Instagram @TheLarryMorgan.
I am at on Facebook, DJ Andy Chanley. It's Andy Chanley on Instagram and Andy_Chanley on the Twitter. Fellas.
Hit us up on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, on Facebook.
Hit us up on Facebook. Go buy a mug. Go buy a mug at
yafcrap.com.
I haven't actually said the website for a while. Yafcrap.com is where you get your crap of the yaf.
Did you gave the phone number out, right? You remember to
Yeah, 626.
Okay.
God damn it. 657-6428.
Thank God.
Oh, it's never not funny. Here we go.
When the people that you know don't like you, and you treasure friendships and tune into this podcast, we're your artificial friends. Thank you, boys.
Leave the tables when you blink.
And good night.
Bye.
Bye. See ya.